Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the NFL Week 12 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. The road to 272 bets, unfortunately, continues. I'm coming to you in shambles this week, my friends. Let me tell you how my week went. This week, leading up to the games, I kind of had a thought that I got to stop complaining about bad beats, because I kind of came to the realization, if I'm going to bet on every single NFL game every single week, there are so many coin flip games that I'm going to suffer a couple of bad beats. A couple of my losses are going to be bad beats. So heading into this week, I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop complaining about bad beats. I'm going to have some good beats as well. I'm going to stop being such a negative Nancy. And oh boy, did Gambler, the gambling god, test my strength in that department this weekend, and I failed miserably because, of course, my worst beat of the week was on the Bears plus 400 money line underdog, my underdog pick of the week. I've not been doing well with my money line upset picks this season. Bears had a 98.8% chance of winning the game. Lines, obviously, if you can do math, had a 1.2% chance of winning. And, of course, they come back and win. But you know what I thought? Yeah, that was a stinger of a loss. Plus 400 would have really been a nice little boost to our record for this year. But at the end of the day, after the late afternoon games, I was sitting in a good spot. I was sitting at 7-5. I needed one win on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football to finish profitable. Broncos minus 2.5 did not win on Sunday night. They won by only 1 point because of the worst 2-point conversion play of all time. And then heading into Monday night, game of the year, Eagles Chiefs. I was very, very confident in my Chiefs minus 2.5 play. I made a same game parlay for fun as well that I tweeted out, and I said, if you tail it and if it cashes, then you are being voluntold to donate $10 to my Movember page to support men's health. And we got Rashee Rice catches. We got Travis Kelce touchdown. Jalen Hurts passing total under went under by a mile. DeAndre Swift rushing total went over by a mile. All we needed was a Kansas City Chiefs win. Didn't even need them to cover. So we needed a Kansas City Chiefs money line win to cash what would have been a very significant win for your boy. Obviously would have hopefully been a good win for men's health as well. Chiefs minus 2.5 to finish with a profitable week. And also I tweeted out the Eagles are frauds in the third quarter. And then what happens? Well, the Chiefs lose because Marquez Valdes-Scantling dropped a wide-open touchdown on their final drive. So Chiefs minus 2.5 loses. I finished 7-7 for the week. My same-game parlay loses, which would have been a significant sum of money for me. Also would have been great for men's health. And also now my DMs and my replies are filled with the Eagles fans throwing insults at me because I bet against their team. So, and to be fair, I called their team frauds. The night couldn't have gone worse. Bad beat. I mean, Chiefs had two red zone turnovers. Marquez Valdes-Scantling dropped a game-winning touchdown on their final drive. I said I wasn't going to be negative. I said I wasn't going to complain about bad beats. And I've spent the first 3.5 minutes of this podcast complaining about bad beats. I'm in shambles, though, my friends. This is... It's been a tough weekend. It's even though, I mean, 7-7 is not terrible. I mean, we're still profitable for the season, and that's kind of the only thing that's keeping me going. But it's weekends like this where I regret doing the road to 272 bets. It is an emotional grind. Sundays are stressful. Sundays, it's enjoyable when I'm winning a ton, but like when I'm stressing every single bet and things flip-flop at a moment's notice all day, it's stressful. I do not recommend betting on all 272 NFL regular season games. It's not fun. The large majority of the time, it is not fun. And yeah, sure. I just complained about some bad luck. Let's visit some good luck bets. I just complained about Marquez Valdes-Scantling dropping a wide open touchdown, which would have won us Chiefs. What's the receiver for the Chargers? Quentin Johnson, the rookie receiver for the Chargers. Is that his name? Dropped a wide open touchdown. Yeah, Quentin Johnson dropped a wide open touchdown for the Chargers. If he caught that, I wouldn't have won Packers plus +3. Cardinals had a late drive to potentially beat the Texans. That didn't work out for them, so I ended up winning that one. The Seahawks missed a game-winning field goal, which allowed me to win Rams. So, I mean, I have to recognize it did have some good luck this week as well, but losing on a 4-1 underdog hurts a little bit more, especially when they had a 98.8% chance to win. And then losing where a game where you placed a same game parlay for fun would have won a lot of money. That stings too on Monday Night Football. So my two biggest bets were my worst two beats of the weekend. But that's gambling, I guess. That's betting on football. The road to 272 bets is not for the faint of heart. This is borderline not enjoyable. But we march on, my friends. It is Thanksgiving week. It is the best week of the NFL regular season. Let's try to get on the winning side of things. Let's go. I do, obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube, you see my beautiful mustache. It is coming in quite well, if I do say so myself. So I am going to encourage you all, if you haven't already, and thank you to all who have. I see the names of the people who have been donating. Thank you all so much for those of you who have. But if you haven't yet, I do encourage you. We got 9 days left this month to donate to my Movember page, raising money for men's health. My goal is to raise $1,000. We are currently sitting at $645, so we're creeping up there. Anything helps. If you can donate $5, then that's as much appreciated as anything else. I know money's probably tight for a lot of people. If you can donate even just a little tiny bit, that goes a long way. So, and who knows? I might keep this mustache after November. We'll see. But it hasn't brought me good luck. I'll tell you that. It has not brought me good luck from a gambling standpoint. What is with people? See, this is part of the issue of recording Monday night right after Monday Night Football. I liked Eagles fans. Eagles, I was cheering for them last year all throughout the season. I was cheering for them in playoffs. I went to an Eagles game and bought a jersey. What is it like when you like bet against, or I guess to be fair, I did call them frauds, like the personal insults come. Why don't you just insult like my picks or like the Falcons, or why do you always got to, my mentions are just, my DMs and mentions are just personal insult after personal insult. Ay, ay, ay. A lot of people call me fat. I'm trying to fix it. I'm trying to fix it, my friends. that's what I get for coming after Philly fans. To be honest, I probably deserve it. So second straight week going 7-7. We are still barely floating in the profit. Season to date record is 84-78-2 for plus +1.83 units. My best bets last week went 2-3. We lost Titans, Dolphins, Chiefs. We won Packers and Texans. Teaser won last week. Teasers remain hot this season. Dolphins got teased down to minus -6. They won by 7. Steelers got teased up to plus +10. Even if you tease the Steelers on their closing line of plus +1 or plus +2 and tease them up, that still would have won. So teaser was great. And my Survivor pick, if any of you out there are still in Survivor and tailed my Survivor pick, Broncos over Vikings. That was a sweaty one for you, but it came through and you got to use one of the worst teams in the NFL in the Broncos. So that was a great one as well. And by the way, this past week, I didn't mention this earlier, it proved that it benefits to listen to this podcast first thing Tuesday morning or at some point Tuesday, because there are two bets that I won because I had CLV on. And if you listen to this podcast late in the week or even waited all the way till Sunday and you made the same bets after the line movement, you would have lost. One of them was Texans minus -4.5. It was 4.5 for a good portion of the week. It closed at 5.5, though, and they won by 5. So that was one where CLV worked in my favor and anyone else's favor who listened to the podcast early in the week. And the other one was, what was the other one that CLV? Steelers. Steelers lost by 3. I got them at +4. Now, to be fair, that came down because of the Deshaun Watson news. But still, if you listen to this podcast Tuesday morning when it first gets released and locked in the bet, then you would have had Steelers +4 and them losing by 3, you still would have won your bet. I much more often than not get closing line value. Actually, I can even tell you what my average closing line value is this season. Even just these two games, if those two games were that I was on the right side were losses, my record would be in the negative right now. So let me see. I'm averaging 1% of CLV per game this season, which turns out is useful, especially this past week. So I encourage you to listen to this podcast. If you do plan on tailing my picks, I encourage you to listen to this podcast early in the week when it's first released Tuesday, or if not Tuesday, as early as you possibly can to get the best line possible. I don't get CLV in every single game, but more often than not, I get CLV, which is closing line value. All right. I've talked enough. It is time for me to somehow move past this week, which was full of heartbreak. I'm going to try my very best in the weeks to come to not complain. I know I broke my first rule of not complaining and not being negative immediately. I can handle normal bad beats moving forward. I can't handle another +400 losing when there are 98.8% chance of winning, and I can't handle another loss like the Chiefs, where I would have won so much money on that same game parlay and also would have had a winning record for the week and also would have hopefully raised more money for men's health. So I, once again, I'm in shambles. This might be the hardest thing I've ever done, is to try to psychologically put this week behind me, even though it just ended an hour ago, and move on to week 12. It is Thanksgiving week. It's a fun week of football. Let's dive into it. It is the NFL week 12 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast, the road to 272 bets. Marches on. Let's go.
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws.
More bacon than the pan can handle. 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 Utility man.
All right, gobble, 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 turkey day, turkey day. We got 3 football games on Thanksgiving to bet on. We also got the first ever Black Friday football game to bet on here, so we're obviously going to start there. Now, I will say, as much as I'm trying to psychologically move on from this past week full of heartbreak to this week, I think this might be my least favorite slate of bets that I've ever had. I think I feel less confident in these picks than I have in any week this season. Now, maybe that means, maybe that's a positive. Maybe that's going to work in my favor, because obviously if I'm very confident in picks, they have not gone super well for me lately. But also maybe this is just a result of not feeling confident in anything after what happened to me on Monday night with the Chiefs. So regardless, I got my picks locked in. We're going to start off with Thursday afternoon, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. It is the Packers against the Lions. Usually the Lions, it's like, oh, we got to watch the Lions on Thanksgiving. Now we're like excited to watch the Lions, and they're favored by 7.5 points. But with that being said, I am going to bet the Packers. You probably saw this coming. I took the Bears money line last weekend with how confident I was in going against the Lions. I'm not going to take the Packers money line this weekend, but I will take them to cover the spread, because even though I did not end up winning that Bears money line bet, a lot of the red flags I talked about last week, and this kind of even made the bet even more painful, was that I actually kind of nailed the pick, but didn't, because it lost. A lot of the red flags that I talked about were kind of showcased in that game. Now, the main thing is their defense is subpar at best. Lions defense is 16th in opponent EPA per play, 24th in opponent success rate, 16th in opponent yards per play. Now, their offense is still obviously good enough to lead them to wins, as they did against the Bears this past weekend, good enough to lead them to come from behind win. But we're not talking about the Lions winning this game. We're talking about them covering a touchdown of more than 7 points. And I think that is hard to do when you have the type of defense that the Lions have. And I also think the Packers are better than the record indicates. 12th in the NFL in net yards per play, 9th in net yards per play over their last three games. So they've actually played better recently. And it should concern Lions fans that they rank 9th in opponent yards per pass attempt. Their secondary has been very stingy. If you look at more advanced metrics like EPA and success rate, then they don't rank as high, but that's because they have not been forcing turnovers. They do not have very many interceptions whatsoever. Actually, I can, on this website, which I recommend if you want to look at EPA and success rate and all that stuff, rbsdm.com. You can actually click a filter that takes a look at the numbers if you remove all takeaways. So let's just go opponent drop back EPA. Packers are 20th, so not great, but I bet you they're going to rank a lot higher if I click exclude plays with turnovers, which is going to even the playing field a little bit. So now exclude plays with turnovers. We're going to look at drop back EPA, and the Packers move from 20th up to 14th. So still not top 10, but still that is why when you look at some of those advanced metrics, they don't look as good as they might normally just because they haven't force many turnovers. But if you look at straightforward stats like opponent yards per pass attempt, they do rank inside the top 10. As I said, they're 9th in opponent yards per pass attempt. So if they can slow down Jared Goff and the passing offense of the Lions, I think their offense is going to be able to do enough against the Lions defense to keep this game within a touchdown on Thanksgiving afternoon. So I'll take the Packers plus 7.5 in the first game on Thanksgiving. By the way, I set the line at Lions minus 6.5. So I think we're getting a point of value, but obviously not all points are created equal. 1 point of value between 6.5 to 7.5 is big because it crosses the key number of 7. So if something changes between now and Thursday and it gets down to 6.5, you may want to look a different direction. Or if it even gets to like 6, then maybe actually the value might be on the Lions. But the current mark right now of 7.5, I like the Packers at that number. Commanders. Oh, I didn't put up the graphic. If you're watching this on YouTube, there you go. Boom. Packers plus 7.5, minus 110. Cowboys and Commanders. I've been fading the Commanders all season. I should have went with a Giants underdog money line this past week. I picked the wrong long underdog. I did take Giants plus the points, though, because I've been fading this Commanders team, and that's exactly what I'm going to do this week and take the Cowboys minus 10.5. Now, the Cowboys, it's weird because the Cowboys seem like they play the worst teams in the NFL on a weekly basis. They must have had, maybe I can look this up. I think I looked this up last week, actually, as well. Easiest schedule NFL so far. It feels like the Cowboys are playing just nonstop trash teams every single week. Tankathon. That's left, but what about so far? I mean, left, they have the second most difficult schedule remaining because after this week, they have the Eagles, Lions, Seahawks, Dolphins, and Bills. So they have just backloaded their schedule. I'm not going to look any further, but anecdotally, it seems like the Cowboys play a lot of easy teams so far this season, and they've beat up on those easy teams. And actually, I've taken the Cowboys off my fraud list because the Cowboys actually have played a lot better the past probably 5, 6, 7 weeks. Actually tied with the 49ers in the NFL for net yards per play over their last three games, a plus 2.5. So I like the Cowboys this week. I think they can just demolish this Commanders defense. Commanders defense, 29th in opponent EPA per play, 28th in opponent yards per play. Also 30th in opponent EPA per dropback, 28th in opponent yards per pass attempt. So the Cowboys are going to be able to do what they want, I think, offensively against this Commanders defense. And I don't think the Commanders offense has enough firepower to keep up. So it's a chalky play, but I will take the Cowboys. Minus 10.5. I got on that minus 112 for the juice. Moving on, it is the Thursday night game, the Thanksgiving night game. It is an NFC West battle between the 49ers and the Seahawks. And I'm going to go as the square play here again. I mean, maybe it's a square play, but I'm going to take the 49ers minus 6.5, minus 110 on the road in Seattle. I think the 49ers are back. I think we can kind of put that midseason slump behind them. It is a slump that all teams ever, all teams have a slump at some point in the season, even great teams, everyone except for the, you know, New England Patriots who went undefeated. Most teams have a slump at some point in the season. The 49ers have had their slump and they've moved past it. I think if you were to ask me right now who is the best team in the NFL, I think it's the San Francisco 49ers. They are the most complete team. Their defense has been playing a lot better. Their offense leads the NFL in EPA per play, and their defense is fifth in opponent EPA per play. They're one of two teams in the NFL who rank in the top five, both in offensive EPA and defensive EPA, or I should say opponent EPA. The other team is the Cowboys. So the Cowboys have had a much easier schedule. We'll see if that holds up when the Cowboys play this just death's row of teams to close out the season. But as of right now, it is the 49ers and the Cowboys, the only two teams who rank both in the top five in EPA per play and opponent EPA per play. The Seahawks, they have been trending in the wrong direction. They have not played well, and this is a trend that we have seen from this Seahawks team the past few seasons, specifically last season, which is probably the best example we can use since that is the team that Geno Smith was playing for. Before that, it was obviously Russell Wilson. But it might be a Pete Carroll thing. Specifically last season, 3-5 down the stretch they went last season. They are much better in the first half of the year than they were in the second half. And we're seeing a very similar thing this year as well. They're actually 25th in the NFL in net yards per play over their last three games at minus 0.7. So they're trending in the wrong direction. 49ers are trending in the right direction. And I just don't think the Seahawks have enough of an answer for this 49ers team. So I will back the 49ers minus 6.5, minus 110, which brings me to Black Friday. I thought it was a night game, but it's at like 3 p.m. It's at a weird time, I think. I'm going to take the Dolphins minus 9.5 against the Jets. Now, I saw the injury report the moment it came out, or not the injury report. It was just the fact that Jets benched Zach Wilson. I went to go check the line. I still could have bet the Dolphins at minus 7.5. I didn't because I'm a man of integrity. Every single week, I don't place my bets until right before I record the podcast to get the closest line as possible to when you guys are able to listen to it for the first time. So I waited till tonight, and now it's at 9.5. So I lost 2 points of CLV there. I certainly don't love the Dolphins at the minus 9.5 number, but I still, that is the side that I have to take because the Jets offense was already the worst offense in the NFL. Last in the NFL in EPA per play, 29th in yards per play, and I certainly don't think they are better with Tim Boyle at quarterback compared to Zach Wilson. So we have arguably the worst offense in the NFL against the best offense in the NFL in the Dolphins, although the Dolphins offense has slowed down in recent weeks. They are still an extremely good unit and not one that I want to bet against in this spot. I know they didn't cover last week, but a lot of that was turnovers, which, as you guys know, I look at as more luck than anything else. And also, the Raiders are a more competent offense than the Jets. I have no desire to bet on Tim Boyle and the Jets to keep it within 10 points of the Dolphins. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Hats off to the Jets. I'm not placing that bet, though. Like the Jets defense, I know the Jets defense is elite, but they might have to keep the Dolphins to like 13 points if they want to cover the spread. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if the Dolphins score 20 points, that's going to be enough to cover. I'm going very square on Thanksgiving and on Black Friday. I mean, maybe the Packers aren't. The Lions are probably going to be the more bet team. But then I'm taking heavy favorites in the Cowboys, 49ers, and Dolphins. But this reminds me of the week earlier in the season where there was like a couple games that I was like, I had Canucks and Sharks on. That just lost. I had to go to UCLA and Marquette and watch that in the background while I rant about these NFL games. Reminds me a couple of weeks where there's like three games and I was like, the stats tell me to go one way, but my gut feelings tell me to go the other way. And what happened? All three games went the other way. This reminds me of a very similar thing where all the stats that I can look at are telling me to bet on the 49ers, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. And I wouldn't be shocked if it's the Commanders, the Seahawks, and the Jets all cover. And it would just rip my heart out once again. I got to trust the numbers. It's kind of like blackjack, where if you're going to hit on 16 when the dealer has a 10, and I know that's kind of a controversial thing, but like there's certain hands in blackjack where like either if you hit or you stay, like doesn't really matter. Like it's 6 one way, half a dozen the other. You got to just pick what you're going to do and then do that every single time. My version of that when it comes to betting on the NFL is I need to just trust the numbers and hope that that's going to work out for me more often than not. So I'm very chalky to start things off on Thanksgiving and on Black Friday. But that's the way it is, baby. We're going to take an early break this time. I've got the Thanksgiving and the Black Friday games out of the way. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be back to break down Sunday slate in the Monday Night Football game as well. Be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back. And right before I went to break, oh, there's the pick. If you're watching YouTube, I showed it before I talked about it. I told you I switched over to UCLA and Marquette. I have the under in this game. I can have a 3-0 sweep in the Maui Invitational on the opening day if this hits for me. I haven't seen the score yet. Last time I checked, it was working well for me, but I kind of wish I could be listening to this broadcast because the greatest color commentator of all time is doing this game, of course. I forgot that he does the Maui Invitational. Actually, I don't think he did it last year. Bill Walton. If you want to feel high without taking drugs, just listen to Bill Walton call a college basketball game. Stay up until 12:30 at night watching either the Maui Invitational or usually Pac-12 after dark and listen to Bill Walton. The Pac-12, when they disband, I hope Bill Walton gets a job somewhere. College basketball is better when Bill Walton's making the call. What do we have for a score here? 35-30 to start the second half. Wow, they must have exploded in scoring in the first half. And then a three-point shot right off the start. Yeah, let me check the live total on this. This is trending against me. UCLA Marquette live total 140.5, and I think my bet is basically that number. 141.5. Oh, it's going to be a sweat. This will be fun to watch while I break down my NFL bets. All right, let's get back to the NFL. Like I was just talking about, the first game on Sunday that I got written up here is the Patriots against the Giants. Rematch of those two Super Bowls from about, one's a decade ago and one's over a decade ago. Crazy how time flies. I will take the Patriots -3.5, -102. I was on the Giants last week to cover, but do not let that game fool you into thinking that this Giants team is good. Certainly don't let it fool you into thinking that Tommy DeVito is a good quarterback either. And if there's any time that I'm still willing to trust Bill Belichick as a coach, it is when he is coming off a bye week against a bad rookie quarterback. This should be Bill Belichick's time to shine. Tommy DeVito should be shaking in his moon boots, getting ready to go up against this Patriots defense, and especially because actually the strength of the Patriots defense is their run defense. Fifth in opponent EPA per rush, second in opponent rush success rate, second in opponent yards per carry. So the Giants are not going to be able to run the ball. So if they want to be able to beat the Patriots or keep it within 3.5 points, they got to do it on the arm of Tommy DeVito, and I don't think he's going to do it. I will back the Patriots off the bye week, -3.5, -102. As of recording this tonight, there are -3s and -3.5s out there. You can back -3. You can still get it at that number. I'm looking at it right now. It's Caesars, but you got to lay -120 juice. I'm very confident in this play. This is one of my top 5 picks of the week. So I'm going to lay the -3.5 instead and get better juice at -102. Obviously, this is probably going to change a little bit depending on when you are listening to this. This next one, not a play I'm confident on at all here. Went from one of my favorite plays to one of my least favorite. It is Buccaneers-Colts. And if you actually would have asked me if the Buccaneers and Colts had already played this season, I would have said yes. I don't know why I thought they did, but they didn't. I will take the Colts -2.5, -110 here. I will fade the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers defense is bad. That was another bad beat I had last week. The over should have hit in Buccaneers. 49ers missed by a point. We're moving on. It is week 12. It's in the past. Can't change the past. We're not going to complain about bad beats. I can feel it in my gut. When you have a bad beat, you can just feel it in your gut. Just rots you from the inside out. Colts, -2.5. I think they can do damage against this Buccaneers defense. Buccaneers defense is 24th in opponent dropback success rate, 25th in opponent dropback EPA, 30th in opponent yards per pass attempt. The Buccaneers have been one of the worst teams in the NFL lately. They're 31st in net yards per play over their last three games. Only the Giants have been worse. And for some reason, I still believe in Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew could be Gardner. Like, he's the same quarterback in every single game. He, for some reason, looks electric one play, but then the next play, he'll throw the worst interception you've ever seen. And I love it. To me, he's just an old school gunslinger. And I'm just going to, I just love him. I'm going to keep betting on him. I'll take the Colts -2.5 at home. Like I said, not a confident play for me, but it is one that I'm going to make. We got the Saints coming against my Falcons. The only good part of this past weekend was that I didn't have to watch my Falcons lose in embarrassing fashion again. Now they play the Saints in an absolutely pivotal game. If the Saints win this game, the NFC South, not locked up, but they're going to become significant favorites to win the NFC South. If the Falcons win this game, I think they actually take over the division lead. So this is a massive game. Desmond Ridder is back at quarterback for the Falcons. They're hosting the Saints. It's a huge rivalry. Nothing hurts my soul more when I place a bet than betting on the Saints to beat my Falcons, but I got to do it. And I'm going to pick Saints. I got them on the money line -102. It's basically pick 'em. I'm going to take the Saints at all my pick 'em pools. I'm going to back the Saints every possible way that I can so that when the Saints win, it softens the blow. Or if the Falcons win, I don't even care. This is one of those bets. I don't care if I lose. This is an emo hedge of all emo hedges. By the end of the day, I do think the Saints win this game. I think they should be favored by 2.5 points. The Falcons, even though some of their metrics aren't that bad, I mean, like, they're 13th in the NFL in net yards per play, they find ways to shoot themselves in the foot on a weekly basis. I don't know what Arthur Smith is doing. His offensive system is one of the worst I've ever seen. He refuses to give his best players the ball. Instead, he gives the ball to Jonnu Smith in as many different ways as possible. The feature of his offense is his backup tight end. He uses everyone else as a decoy. I don't know why he would do that, but he continues to do it. I can't bet on the Falcons. I don't think I'm going to be betting on the Falcons again for the rest of the season. I don't think I can do it. This Falcons offense now has to face what some might say is an elite. If not an elite, they're a borderline elite defense. They're top six in opponent EPA per play and opponent success rate. They're going to be overwhelmed by the Saints defense, and the Saints offense will do enough to win this game. Like I said, I'm more than willing to lose this bet, but I don't think I will. Give me Saints -102 against my Falcons. First total bet of the week here, Panthers Titans. I'm going to go over 37. I did kind of like the Titans in this spot, but after looking at it closely and after seeing that the total is only at 37, I think you got to take the over here. And I do think I'm on one other over, but I think we might see a little bit of regression. I think the sports books the unders have been hitting at such a high rate. You can tell just looking at the totals that sports books are correcting for that fact. And now I think we're going to see a little bit of regression the other way. If you like betting on overs, I think this is the week to start doing it. And especially one that has a total in the mid 30s with two bad defenses. Like, I know neither the Panthers or the Titans offense is anything to write home about, but their defense stinks too. So if a total's at 37, I need at least one of the two defenses in the game to be elite. And we do not have that here. In fact, the Panthers are the worst run defense in the NFL. Dead last in opponent rush success rate. Dead last in opponent EPA per rush. Another take on a Titans offense that we know runs the ball a lot and still runs the ball relatively effectively. Not as well as they did the past few years, but still they're a decent running team. They should be able to run the ball all over the Panthers. And they take on a Titans defense that is 31st in the NFL in opponent EPA per play and 22nd in opponent success rate. So two bad defenses. The total's only at 37. I mean, come on. We do not need that many points to go over a total of 37. I will take Panthers Titans over 37. Steelers Bengals. Look at me for the second week in a row betting on the Pittsburgh Steelers, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. I am shocked they're only a 1.5 point favorite against a Jake Browning-led Bengals. Why? The Bengals were a bad team with Joe Burrow. And now they have Jake Browning. He is still going to start for them, right? Did I miss news? Yeah, no. Bengals are 31st in the NFL in net yards per play at minus 1.3. That is largely due to their defense. Their defense is 25th in opponent EPA per play, 30th in opponent success rate, 31st in opponent yards per play. They could still win games when he had Joe Burrow quarterback, because even though your defense was terrible, Joe Burrow could lead their offense to score enough points to overcome that. Jake Browning cannot score enough points and cannot lead this offense to overcome a bad defense. I think the Bengals are going to look bad these next few weeks. Bad. Bad. I'm not a Steelers guy. You know this. I think they're fraudulent. I think that they're not a good football team whatsoever. But I don't think the Bengals are going to score. And I think the Bengals defense is bad enough that the Steelers might actually have their best offensive performance of the season. So I will take the Steelers minus 1.5 at minus 102 odds against the Bengals. Texans Jaguars. I will take, this is not my money line upset pick of the week, but it is a small money line upset. I'll take the Texans at home plus 105 against the Jaguars. The Jaguars are a very difficult team to handicap because they are a roller coaster from a metric standpoint. One week they lose by a ton, and their metrics are terrible. They like get their ass kicked by every single metric you want to look at. The next week they win and their metrics are solid. I don't know what to think of this Jaguars team. I'm going to keep betting against them because still overall their full season numbers are not good. They're 23rd in the NFL in net yards per play at minus 0.4. Now they hit the road to take on a Texans team that they already lost to 37-17 earlier this season at home. And also it wasn't just the score. The Texans outgained them 6.5 yards per play to 5.9 yards per play. So I think the Texans are actually a better overall team than the Jaguars, to be honest. I actually think the Texans should be small favorites in this game, but instead they're very small underdogs. So I will take the Texans on the money line at plus 105. This is my other over bet here up next. It is the NFC West game between the Cardinals and the Rams. I'm done betting on the Rams. We probably did not deserve that win against the Seahawks. That was one that went our way this past week. But I think they're going to be a great over team, especially against this Cardinals team, because the Rams receiving core should be able to torch this Cardinals secondary. They rank 29th in opponent EPA per dropback, 31st in dropback success rate, and 26th in opponent yards per pass attempt. So I think the Rams can do enough through the air to score points to contribute to this over. And then Kyler Murray, to his credit, has looked pretty solid in his first two starts since returning from injury. He has not had the rust I expected him to. And to be fair, in the past, Kyler Murray, when he does start seasons, and I should have factored this in, is usually good at the start and then gets worse as the season goes on and he gets a bit banged up. So fresh Kyler Murray is good Kyler Murray, and he looks fresh out there. This offense looks completely different with him at quarterback, and the Rams defense still not good, below average in just about every single metric. So 44.5 is the total. All of that paired with the fact I think we're going to see some regression when it comes to the over-unders in the NFL this week. I will take the over 44.5 between the Rams and the Cardinals. Broncos and... Oh, the heat just turned on. That scared the heck out of me. I hope that doesn't get picked up with the mic too much. Probably should have shut that off before I started recording, but too late. Broncos-Browns. I'm going to take the Browns plus 2.5. I know that they're starting Dorian Thompson-Robinson this game, but I simply cannot lay points on this Broncos team to go taking on this Cleveland defense. Cleveland defense is unbelievable. And they... good offenses have at least been able to move the ball a bit against them. Bad offenses have looked like high school offenses against them. They have held three different teams to 3 points or fewer this season. They held the Steelers to 10 points. They shut out the Cardinals. I don't want to lay points on the Broncos and then watch Russell Wilson, who I tweeted this earlier. I think he's the most sackable quarterback of all time. It seems like the season, whenever when a defender like lays a pinky on Russell Wilson, he falls over. It's insane. I think the Browns are going to get after them. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I mean, the total's at 35.5. I think that's a perfect illustration of what this game is going to look like. So I'll take the team getting the points and trust in the Browns defense. I think a little bit of a sell high spot on the Broncos too after winning 4 straight games. So I'll take the Browns plus 2.5 on the road in Denver. Now it's time for my true money line upset pick of the week. And it is the Bills plus 160. I'd ranted about it at the start of the podcast. I take no joy in becoming enemies with Eagles fans because I love the Eagles last season. I just did the mistake of refreshing my Twitter mentions. Guy says I have CTE. Eagles fans are the best. I liked Eagles fans last season. Not so much anymore. I say one thing about them being frauds and all of something, they're turning on me. I still stand by my statement that the Eagles are frauds. We can't evaluate teams based on wins and losses. If we evaluate teams based on wins and losses, then sports betting should be pretty easy. Just bet on the team that has the better record and you should be rich. And this game specifically is actually a fascinating matchup because this game is a game between a team that has played way better than the record shows and a team that has played way worse than the record shows. This is like the ultimate Ian game. This game stands for everything I believe in when evaluating teams and betting on sports. This to me is the game of my life. If this doesn't go my way, I need to reevaluate everything. Because what do I like doing? I like buying stocks and teams who I think have played way better than the record indicates, and I like selling stock on teams whose record is way worse or way better than it should be. Their metrics are way worse than the record indicates. That this is what we have with the Bills and the Eagles. If I did a blind resume, and this is probably how I should have started this segment on this pick, if I didn't tell you which team was which, if I didn't tell you what record was for either team and just listed to you the metrics of either team, you would say the Bills were the better team. Let's list a few of them. I mean, we can't do it blind anymore, but here's a few of them. The Bills are 6th in the NFL in net yards per play, 3rd in the NFL in EPA per play, 12th in the NFL in opponent EPA per play. The Eagles, now I don't have updated numbers. Some of these might shift a little bit, but still, the idea still stands. Eagles are 11th in net yards per play, 5th in EPA per play, and 19th in opponent EPA per play. So net yards per play, EPA offensively, EPA defensively, Bills outrank the Eagles. Actually, who outgained who in this Eagles-Chiefs game? I think a lot of numbers were very comparable. The Chiefs outgained the Eagles 4.5 yards per play to 4.4 yards per play. So not a massive difference, but still the Eagles managed to win a game in which they got outgained by their opponents. And obviously the big difference maker was 2 red zone turnovers. This Eagles team is good. I don't want people to get it twisted. I don't want people to think that I'm saying that the Eagles are a bad football team. They're not a bad football team. They're still one of the better teams in the NFL. They're not a great team, and they're not the best team. Far from it. And I think that it's time to sell your stock in the Eagles. And actually, the Eagles have the Eagles' next two games are the Bills, 49ers, and Cowboys. Eagles go 0-3. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to take Bills' money line this week, When they win, I'm going to roll that over into 49ers money line the next week. And when they win that one, I'm going to roll that over into Cowboys money line the week after. I'm going to do it and I'm going to get rich. That's how confident I am that the Eagles are frauds. Eagles are going to lose the next three straight games. They are not nearly as good as their record indicates. And outside of wins and losses, no matter what other metric you want to look at to evaluate this Eagles team, it would reflect that fact. You can come at me with, oh, they're 9-1, they're 9-1, whatever. We can't evaluate teams based on wins and losses alone. I actually think wins and losses are a terrible way to evaluate the team. Eagles are a good team, not great, and it's going to get shown these next 3 weeks. Mark my words, Bills plus 160 on the money line. How about that? Chiefs minus 9 for my next pick. I forgot to write that in my notes. Chiefs minus 9. Pick is Chiefs. Chiefs minus 9. Minus 110. By the way, I told you I have this UCLA Marquette game on in the background, and it has turned into a shootout. These two teams are literally sprinting up and down the court, making every basket that they've shot. Well, the live total is still at 134. I don't know how that's possible. I should pound the live over right now, because one of the reasons I took the under is UCLA usually plays a very slow pace. Not tonight. They're sprinting up and down the floor. Chiefs minus 9. I think the Chiefs bounce back and get a big win against the Raiders. It's not necessarily, I think their offense is going to have a huge bounce back game, but their offense is tricky. It's like, I've never like, this is the first time that I look at a team where it's like, wow, they're like, I'm looking at the receivers. Like, I have to dock points for how good the team is based on how bad the receivers are. The receivers, they lead the NFL in drops. So it's like, even though they have the best defense Patrick Mahomes has ever had, they have Patrick Mahomes, they have Travis Kelce. It's like, how much do you dock when dock points off when you're evaluating the Chiefs because their receivers can't catch a fucking football? I don't know. And actually, I'm betting on them to cover the spread, not actually because of their offense. It's actually because of their defense, because the Chiefs' defense is going to shut down the Raiders. Raiders' offense, 28th in EPA per play, 17th in or 27th in yards per play. But the big thing is that the best way to move the ball against the Chiefs is to run the ball. That's the biggest weakness of the Chiefs. Actually, their number one weakness is receivers can't catch a fucking beach ball. Their second weakness is they can't stop the run. But the Raiders are one of the worst run teams in the NFL, arguably the worst running team in the NFL. Dead last in rush EPA, and 31st in yards per carry. So the Raiders don't have, their strengths don't line up with the Chiefs' weaknesses. And maybe the Chiefs' receivers can catch a ball, and then hopefully that'll lead to a Chiefs winning cover. So I'm going to take the Chiefs minus 9, minus 110 against the Raiders. Ravens against Chargers. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know what way I'm going to go here. I'm going to go with the Ravens minus 4, minus 110 in Los Angeles. Justin Herbert can have all the weapons that he wants on offense. The Chargers defense might be the worst in the NFL. 28th in opponent EPA per play and opponent success rate. 29th in opponent yards per play. They give up 5.8 yards per snap. And the Ravens defense is one of the best defense. I would say the number two defense next to the Browns. I'm shocked this is only a 4-point spread. Justin Herbert has actually had the same issue Patrick Mahomes had. His receivers have been dropping the ball. With Joshua Palmer being out, that kills them. Mike Williams being out, that kills him. So all he has is Keenan Allen, and Quentin Johnson has been bad, and who's the other guy that they have? Donald Parnham has been bad. Gerald Everett has been out too. All his good pass catchers have been out, and all the guys replacing them have been bad. So I don't have faith against for the Chargers offense against the Ravens defense. I do have faith in the Ravens offense against the Chargers defense, which stinks. Brandon Staley stinks. Chargers stink. Give me Ravens -4. Also, Ravens have played very well on the road this season. Lead the NFL in net yards per play on the road. Ravens -4, -110, which brings me to Monday Night Football. This might actually get flexed out. I think this is the first Monday Night Football of the season that can get flexed out. But I will take, regardless, whenever it happens, I will take the Bears. Probably won't get flexed out because it's a hot team against a big market team. Bears +3.5. Against the Vikings. Big reason why I bet on the Bears last week as well, because they are no longer the dumpster fire of the NFL. They are now a below average team, which below average is significantly better than dumpster fire. Over their last three games, they're 12th in the NFL in net yards per play. They actually have the same net yards per play, +0.1, than the Vikings do since Joshua Dobbs took over at quarterback. The run defense remains elite. So if they can shut down the Vikings' run offense, then they're going to have to try to win the game on the arm of Josh Dobbs. And maybe they can win the game, but I would not set them as 3.5-point favorites. So I will take the 3.5 points with the Chicago Bears against the Vikings on Monday Night Football. Marquette, I think, has scored like 12. I think they're on a 12-0 run. They're down 45-35, and now they're up 46-45. Ooh. I guess that's why the live under is still set to go under, because UCLA is not scoring. Yeah, still 11 minutes left, so this podcast is going to be over before this game is decided. So I guess I get to sweat it out while I edit, and then I get to go to bed at 2:30 in the morning. Love the road to 272. So fun. All right, that's it. Let me break down, or let me just recap all my picks, and then I'll give you my five best bets, my teaser bet, and my survivor pick for this week. Starting with Thanksgiving, we got Packers +7.5 against the Lions, -110. And let me actually just bring in my bet stamp account. That's going to make things a little easier. Cowboys -10.5, -112 against the Commanders. 49ers -6.5, -110 against the Seahawks. Dolphins -9.5, -110 against the Jets. Patriots -3.5, -102 against the Giants. Colts -2.5, -110 against the Buccaneers. Saints -102 against the Falcons. Panthers, Titans over 37, -110. Steelers -1.5, -102 against the Bengals. Houston Texans +105 at home to the Jaguars. Rams, Cardinals over 44.5, -110. Browns +2.5, -110 against the Broncos. Chiefs -9.5. -110 against the Raiders. Bills +160 on the money line against the Eagles. Ravens -4, -110 against the Chargers. And Bears +3.5, -110 against the Vikings. My five best bets are Patriots -3.5 against the Giants, the Saints -102 against the Falcons, the Steelers -1.5 against the Bengals, the Chiefs -9.5 against the Raiders, and the Bills +3.5 against the Eagles. Obviously, I'm on Bills money line, but for the sake of the best bets, because I'd give these out for like pick 'em contest, Bills +3.5 as the garbage truck drives by outside. So Patriots, Saints, Steelers, Chiefs, and Bills are my best bets. My teaser, we're going to take the Chiefs down from -9.5 against the Raiders down to -3.5. And the Browns up to +8.5 from +1.5, 2.5 against the Steelers. Wait, that doesn't make sense because I put Browns plus. Isn't the Browns aren't playing the Steelers? Browns are playing the Broncos. That's what I meant. Right. That was a typo. So Chiefs -3.5 against the Raiders. Browns +8.5 against the Broncos. This is my 6-point teaser of the week. And for my survivor, I doubt you have used this team already this season. If you are still alive in Survivor, I'd recommend using them now. Use the New England Patriots to beat the Giants. That would be my recommendation for Survivor. I think they're going to beat up on the Giants. There you have it. This has been the NFL Week 11 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. Rate and review the podcast if you're listening to this, the audio version. Like the video and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching the video version of this. And please, if you have a couple of spare dollars, donate to my Movember page to help raise money for men's health. I will add the donation link both in the description of the video version of the podcast and the audio version of the podcast. And also, you could also just head over to my Twitter page and find it on my feed there. I would appreciate very much anyone who has the means to do that. Like I said, the goal is $1,000, and I think I was at $645. So we're closing in on that, but we need a big push here in the final 9 days of the month. Thank you all so much for watching, listening. I love you all. Best of luck this week. Enjoy the holiday, American Thanksgiving. P.S. Thanksgiving belongs in October. Canadians do it right. This is too close to Christmas for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is much better in October. That's a fact. And if you disagree, you're wrong. All right. Thanks again. Best of luck this week. Gambler bless. The road to 272 bets marches on.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.